Happy Friday, everybody. We made it through the week.
Yes, we did it.
Pew, pew. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer. And partly because it's Friday, partly because it is the Friday before a holiday week, and partly because the celebrities are sleeping and not entertaining us enough, we've decided to give you a little treat, listeners, and do a little supersized blind item segment. So you're going to get two heapin' helpin' of blind items separated by a dirt alert. It is that simple. It's a blind item bonanza.
Bonanza.
Let's make it happen. Blinded
by the item.
By the way, thank you, Holly, for showing up with the extra blind items today.
Oh, yes. And for those of you who don't know, when we do blind items, we're basically solving pop culture mysteries by hearing these juicy bits of gossip that with the names left out. We try to solve what those names are. And Holly, you've sourced these from our friend NT Lawyer at crazydaysandnights.net.
Indeed.
Thank you. What you got for us?
All right. So here is our first celebrity gossip mystery. It always cracks NT Lawyer up how this permanent A-list actress who had an iconic television role and has been met in movie chastises her friends for getting work done when our actress is first in line every 3 months to get work done to her face. She also got some lipo done recently and creatively hid the little scars during a photo shoot.
Ooh.
So we're looking for a permanent A-list actress.
Does it rhyme with Jennifer Aniston?
Blinded.
Whoa. No. All right. Yay!
You mean it's not the Aveeno?
No, remember.
Shoot, I really need to take mine back then
because you bought it because you thought you'd get look like Jennifer Aniston.
Yes, exactly.
Good thing, Bradley, that you didn't go and get the Aveeno because now you can go get the Vital Proteins collagen
because she's like part owner now of that.
She is the chief creative officer of Hooves, Vital Proteins collagen supplements. Now, if you go and look at some of the photos of Jennifer Aniston in her new role as the chief creative officer, there's one where she's sitting on a yoga mat. I'm going to fill in the blank. Look at that photo while I fill in the blank on the blind item.
Okay.
So it always cracks NT Lawyer up how Jennifer Aniston chastises her friends for getting work done when Jennifer Aniston is the first in line every 3 months to get work done to her face. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Aniston also got some lipo done recently.
Oh my gosh!
And creatively hid the little scar during a photo shoot.
Oh my gosh.
What are you, oh my gosh?
I'm looking at the picture that Holly has turned us to of Jennifer Aniston on the yoga mat, looking to her over her right shoulder.
Yeah.
As she performs a nice little stretch. And that does not look like her face at all. And of course, she's looking to her right. Probably to hide the scar.
To speak to the blind item for sure, that could mean she's hiding her scar. That and the fact that the hair is covering where that scar would be if she's had a facelift.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. I just think it's, you know, this is just like one, and she's been, you know, this person for a while, whether it was Aveeno or, you know, other endorsement relationships she has. It's smart, right? Like from her standpoint, but at the same time,
no amount of Vital Protein is going to make you look like Jennifer Aniston.
You know what's going to make you look like Jennifer Aniston?
What?
Jeans.
And millions of dollars.
Yeah. Neither of which I have. Wah, wah.
And I think, you know, like, as somebody who loves natural things, you could check in on Vital Proteins in a lot of natural ways without, you know, if buying this particular brand is not your thing. You don't have to buy this one product in order to look like Jennifer Aniston. Also, no amount of collagen is going to make you look like Jennifer Aniston unless they're injecting it into your face or pulling your face back from whence it came.
This, again, we've had this exact conversation before when we've talked about hair, that thing that we've all done at one point in our lives where we've brought a picture of a celebrity's hair to our hairdresser.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And said, please make my hair look like this. And you're always disappointed. Why? Because maybe the hair looks similar, but it's still your face.
Can I also...
You can do whatever you want. Say it.
Can I really?
Yeah.
Can I also just alert you to Vital Proteins' other product, which gets 3 out of 5 stars on their own website? Vital Proteins and Poosh.
Oh.
Dream of me, collagen tea. So they have a sleep-promoting relaxation hoof supplement that is co-branded with Kourtney Kardashian's Poosh.
I have a question.
Yeah. Yes.
That's Kourtney Kardashian's lifestyle brand.
Yeah, so there's obviously like some, you know, crossover in that situation. What do I need collagen? Like, why am I drinking collagen?
Can I tell you? So I may Google a lot, right? So I don't know anything, but I can Google.
Okay.
So you're welcome to do this on your own. But the science is really out on collagen. So like people really swear by it because it's supposed to be good for your hairs.
All of them.
Nails, etc. Your hooves, your scales.
You drink the hooves so that your hooves look good.
Yeah, but the science is actually out on whether or not eating collagen adds collagen to your body, right? So you kind of do that on your own. And like, again, the things that we buy and take that make ourselves feel good, I like to buy a bag of Doritos to make myself feel good on occasion.
Yeah.
I am fully aware that I do not expect that Doritos are doing good things to me. So this is just kind of the same thing. If this makes you feel good, great, do it. But if you think you're somehow getting a scientific advantage, that seems to be a little up in the air if you read the actual stuff.
So what's interesting about this is, and I know we already sort of said as much, and we're going to get to another blind item here in a second, but what's interesting about this entire conversation is that Jennifer Aniston is hawking these collagen peptides while she's getting that collagen actually injected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or something far more synthetic, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want another one?
Totally.
Another blind item for Colleen and Bradley to solve. It's a blind item bonanza. Yes, it's 12:11. We're going to get to more blind items later on in the show.
This is your Friday bonus. Live into
it. You're like, wait, did I sleep?
No.
What's going on?
No, you are not wrong. It is only 11 after 12, but we decided to do a supersize bonanza of blind items. Have at it, Holly.
Anti-lawyers told you before that the royal pedophile is wanted for questioning in this European country due to his love of underage girls. Well, as it turns out, there are multiple countries that would like to question him about money laundering and tax evasion. In his home country, he would probably be in jail if not for his position, and there is buzz that he let that big country to the east know exactly where prominent exiles from that country were living in exchange for cash.
Oh, holy buckets. Well,
Prince
this is
Nasty.
Prince Nasty, also known as Prince Andrew.
The Queen's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Which I learned because of an episode of The Crown, although we knew that before. But anyway.
We'll get to that.
We'll get
later.
To that later.
Don't worry about that.
But the
what else
European
do you need from us?
Country, he's wanted for questioning in this European country. But as it turns out, there's another one.
Yes. Now,
that's...
I will give you a
big
hint.
Country to the east. Okay.
The European country is geographically located south of the United Kingdom.
Like
okay,
Portugal?
Wait. The country that they said is to the east is actually south? Is that what you're saying?
No, there are two different countries.
Okay, sorry.
So the one in Europe is south of the UK.
Okay.
Get out your maps.
Okay.
What's right underneath
Spain,
the UK?
Europe.
No, well, right underneath the UK.
France.
Thank you.
Or farts, as Bradley likes to say.
Farts.
Yes, as of July, Prince Andrew under fresh scrutiny after Ghislaine Maxwell arrest. And that is a headline from France 24, the equivalent of the French CNN.
France CNN.
Now, I don't know what the country to the east is. You could make any...
Probably Russia.
Could very well be.
I mean, that sounds right.
So, you know, it could be, you know, a country in the Middle East. It could be anything.
Oh, it says that big country to the east.
That
feels like Russia.
Prominent exiles from that country were living in it. So, that would make sense because there are a lot of Russian mm-hmm. expats mm-hmm. living in the UK.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. Congratulations, everyone. So let me fill in the blank for you. Okay. Anti-Lawyer has told you before that Prince Andrew was wanted for questioning in France due to his age of underage girls. Well, as it turns out, there are multiple countries that would like to question Prince Andrew about money laundering and tax evasion. In the UK, Prince Andrew would probably be in jail if not for being the prince. And there's buzz that he let Russia know exactly where prominent exiles from that country were living in exchange for cash. Because, you know, he's doing royal duties right now.
Oh, man. He did a royal duty.
Well, and I would just like to remind you, what has Russia been known to do to people living in the UK that they would like to get a hold of? Mm-hmm. Anyone?
We gotta cool the conversation a little bit.
I know, people are
listening.
Nobody's listening.
You know what? As much as I would like to continue to do blind items, the good news is we will get back to them a little bit later in the hour. But when we come back, not only are we going to get all the dirt straight from Hollywood, we're also going to announce a Live for Free name right here on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
It is time for a Dirt Alert. Holly's going to bring it to us, but before we get to all the dirt straight from Hollywood...
I hate this year.
It is time for us to announce a Live for Free name. It has been a tough year, and we here at My Talk 107.1 want you to live for free for the rest of 2020. So, Cindy Grundmeier is this hour's name. Cindy Grundmeier, call us back at 651-641-1071 in the next 10 minutes. And if you do, Cindy Grundmeier, you will win $100 and you will also be entered to win the grand prize of $10,000. Cindy Grundmeier, and if you are a friend of Cindy Grundmeier's and you just heard her name, you better call her and tell her to call.
That's right.
651-641-1071. And now let's get to that dirt.
Oh, boy. Lots of dirt making a big splash this afternoon.
A dirty splash.
Yeah, it doesn't take a whiz to figure that one out. Let's talk about Amazon Studios confirming that they have the rights to Coming to America, the sequel to Coming to America. That's going to be able to stream on March 5th, 2021. Now, this is the latest big movie that has shifted its distribution to streaming services.
Holly, can you do me a favor? Sorry. Can we have Bradley?
Bradley has to do that himself.
Bradley, are you there?
What's your problem?
There you are. Okay.
Normally want to hear from me, so...
Back to Coming Number 2 America.
What?
Excuse me?
That's what they're calling it. Coming Number 2 America.
Not Coming Number 2.
It's Coming... to America, but the 2 is the number 2.
Seriously, you need to not say those words.
I feel like that movie is going to be on a different streaming service on March 5th.
And stop saying the word streaming. Thank you. All of you, just shut it down.
That's what Amazon Prime
Happy Friday,
is.
Everybody. I am excited.
You did pee-pee. Okay, you were doing pee-pee jokes at the beginning.
Well, you didn't have to say it literally.
You're so mean.
It's under the radar, Bradley.
It's good. Above the radar. I really have to go to the restroom, and there wasn't enough time in the break, and so my co-host and my producer, my beautiful friends, are trying to tease me. But I am excited about this development in terms of the movie Coming to
America.
America, but it's the number 2.
I America. Understand. The I sequel know, to Coming to America.
Because when I first heard Coming to America, the sequel to Coming to America, I thought that was dumb. But now I see how clever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is I don't think they're saying it as Coming Number 2 America.
Just saying it's a visual thing.
Well, you've made it a one, so you're welcome.
I'm going to get
whatever
Jeff Bezos on the horn and say, hey, have you ever considered hiring Colleen Lindstrom for your marketing department?
And he'll say no, and we'll all have a good laugh.
No.
All right. Nay. Anyway, I'm excited. End of story.
Coming to America. Today.
Let's catch up with Carl Lentz, the pastor who was fired from the Hillsong Church. He's doing all right for himself. Apparently, he's renting a $16,000 a month beachside LA hideaway.
Wow.
Yeah. So
how much is he paying a month?
$16,000 a month.
Okay.
For That's renting a house in California.
That tells you what?
I just was going to say, I have a lot of friends who are pastors, and that is not a typical pastor salary.
Oh, you're not leasing a $4.5 million house in Manhattan Beach, California? Yeah, but
there are also not celebrity pastors who, you know, are palling around, whose members are, you know, the likes of Justin Bieber and, you know, ridiculously wealthy celebrities.
So no, that's where that's true. Coming from. That is
They're
true.
They're opening their pockets, and it's trickle-down pastornomics.
Is that a thing?
No.
Yeah. I didn't think Ronald Reagan said that in 1982, but
he is doing okay for himself.
Yes.
Carl Lentz is. Don't and worry about him. Really... He lost his job, but he's fine.
But remember that there's so much more going on behind the scenes in terms of what he's actually trying to do and what's actually playing out before our eyes, because he's like, there are all these paparazzi strolls. I mean, he is represented by talent agents in Hollywood. He is a celebrity as much, if not more, than he is like a practicer of an actual profession. So, you know, that's clear just based on the fact that we're talking about him.
Right.
Repeatedly on our pop culture entertainment station.
Right.
Yes.
He's broken through.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Something that we can watch on HBO Max is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion, including the first Aunt Vivian, played by Janet Hubert, who famously had a feud with Will Smith for almost 30 years. And Will Smith is talking about that on Where Else? Red Table Talk.
Oh, over, look at that.
Yeah, on Jada Pinkett Smith's Facebook show. Now, Will Smith says of not talking to Janet Hubert for about 27 years, that it really troubled him. And then he said, my painful situation was around the Fresh Prince. I had a feud, a war with words that I'd been in with Janet, and I never thought would get resolved, he said. I really couldn't see myself celebrating without dealing with this. Now, in another clip, Will Smith quote admitted that, I'm not arrogant enough to think that my actions and behaviors were perfect. My actions and behaviors were flawed and hurtful.
So it's interesting because I was not going to watch this. I just wasn't super interested. But then I heard Donna and Steve talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, for that reason alone, the fact that he sits down face to face with the original Aunt Viv and they have a conversation, just the two of them, before, or at least it appears to be before the whole cast reunites. And they talk very candidly about what was going on in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And they work to kind of bury the hatchet together. And I thought, okay, I kind of do want to watch that now. And
yeah.
Just see how they navigate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's...
Oh, go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say, that's an interesting story. If I actually watched The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air,
you'd be interested
That would encourage me to want to understand how that all played out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're getting candid about what they were going through at that particular time. Janet shared that she was going through personal struggles, having a new baby. She said that she was dealing with an abusive relationship, and then it affected her relationship with her coworkers. Mm-hmm. And then that cascaded into this beef that lasted for almost 30 years. And for Janet and Will, they do come to an understanding and they exchange a hug. What seems to be an authentic and very sincere closing of that chapter in their lives.
Yeah. Again, like just hearing Donna and Steve talk about it. And Steve, by the way, didn't actually see it. He was like piecing it together over social media, like what he had seen over social media. And it just made me think, watching two people reconcile something, I think is an important thing for us to see right now.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah.
I wonder why you say that.
I don't really have a really strong reason, but I said it. So there. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, more blind items, but also we need somebody to play the 30-second pop culture challenge. 651-641-1071. 30 seconds, 5 pop culture questions. Get them all right, you win a prize. We do it every day at 12:30 on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. We're going to give you 30 seconds to answer 5 pop culture questions. We do it every day at 12:30 right here on the Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 1071, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Traynor. Hi. Are you there? There he is. Yeah, and this is your 30-second pop culture challenge. God,
stop coming after me, man.
30-second pop culture challenge.
Who's on the phone today, Colleen?
Who's on the phone today, Holly?
It's Chris.
We've got Chris on the line, and what is Chris playing for?
Chris is playing for one of this.
My Talk 1071 t-shirt.
Hey,
oh,
Chris.
Nice. Thank you.
Hi. Are you ready to play the 30-second pop culture challenge, my dear?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
All right, timer will begin after I ask the first question. Here we go. What is the name of Dolly Parton's amusement park?
Dolly Land.
Close.
Oh, well, could you go to the next question?
Who was the host of Star Search?
Oh my gosh. Next question, an English guy. Anyway.
Dave Grohl was the drummer for what rock band?
Again, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Which Holly...
Oh, I'm so sorry. You did not get them all correct. But you can try again on Monday because we do it every day on the Colleen and Bradley Show at 12:30. Let's go through the questions she didn't get correct. Okay, Bradley?
What is the name of Dolly Parton's amusement park?
It's Dollywood.
Who was the host of Star Search?
Ed McMahon.
I think it's just Ed McMahon.
Sure.
Dave Grohl was the drummer for what rock band?
Nirvana.
And which Hollywood Chris plays Steve Trevor in Wonder Woman?
Bradley's favorite, Chris Pine.
Sorry, Holly. Oh, and the last one.
I'm ignoring that.
Which celebrity chef goes by the nickname the Barefoot Contessa?
Ina Garten. And now that we've answered all those questions, we can move on to solve some mysteries. And we do that in the form of more blind items, which Holly has brought for us in this segment we call Blinded by the Item.
Blinded by the Item.
Yay, more celebrity gossip mysteries.
Yay.
Lucky us, yeah.
Solve this one, Colleen and Bradley.
Okay.
Okay.
Considering how awful her most recent ambassador gig has gone, and judging by the way she treats those on her sets and others in her life, this foreign-born A-/B+ list actress's latest ambassador job should be a mess, too.
Oh, man.
Considering how awful her most recent ambassador gig.
So she's like, is she like a brand ambassador for something?
That is correct. And I didn't.
Yeah, like not an actual ambassador like Luxembourg.
Thank you.
Yes, not in the diplomatic sense. Not an ambassador.
Okay. Judging by the way she treats the. Oh.
Those on
Jennifer Aniston?
But it's foreign born.
You know, foreign burn.
Well, we did talk about this person's ambassadorship with a brand maybe last summer.
Okay.
This person.
Is it Priyanka Chopra?
Yeah, it is, Bradley.
Oh,
I don't know why I whispered.
No, and we just talked about her new ambassador gig because People Magazine did a whole big spread on her, like, well and good, or it was some sort of powder turmeric drink situation. Okay, I'm gonna research that and tell you more, but go ahead, Holly.
Okay, wonderful. So considering how awful her most in recent ambassador gig has gone, and judging by the way that Priyanka Chopra treats those on her sets and others in her life, Priyanka Chopra's latest ambassador job should be a mess too. Now, I think it's not an endorsement. He might be talking about being an ambassador for the Feed campaign.
Oh, like an okay. Okay. Not like a brand ambassador.
Right.
Gotcha.
At least
got it, like a charity ambassador.
Correct. That's how I'm interpreting the blind item, but with a celebrity like this, they do lots of both mm-hmm. brand yeah. ambassadorships, which has become the slang term for being a spokesperson.
Right.
Versus yeah. an ambassador for a nonprofit endeavor.
I love how they use the word ambassador to mean, like, spokesperson. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's something. There she goes. Whee!
Bye.
Whee! She's been under the radar lately. We haven't really talked a lot about Priyanka Chopra or Nick Jonas, for that matter, other than like on the edges. So
yeah, they're not being very relationship forward lately.
Correct.
Yes.
But if you want to listen, guess what? Next week, can we give a little hinty squeeze?
Let's give a hinty squeeze.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Sounds cute. We're gonna give you a little pinch, a little taste, a little whiff of what's coming.
Drizzle.
A little, yeah. Ooh, we're giving you some celebrity drizzle.
Yes.
On our latest podcast episode for Go Deep in the Shallow, Colleen, it's all about
Jonas. So next Wednesday, so we drop a new episode every Wednesday of our new podcast, Go Deep in the Shallow. Subscribe and review. Thank you. And tell all your friends.
Thank you.
Wherever podcasts are attainable.
Downloaded.
Anyway, so next week, last week we did Publationships 101. We laid the groundwork for how you can identify a publationship. This coming Wednesday, we will learn about a publationship done well. And that will be in the form of Jonas. I know it sounds like we rag on them a lot, but truly, they have perfected the art of a publationship that will pay dividends for both of them. And so,
yeah, they've been very successful at leveraging their celebrity for big dollars and career opportunities.
Yes, yes, yes. Next.
Blinded by the item.
Thanks for allowing us to plug our podcast, Holly.
You're welcome. It's a good one. Mm. So you got to smash that 5-star review.
Smash that review!
Smash it!
Yes!
Here is another blind item. This one's solved, by the way, so we know who this is about. It's confirmed. Once again, the tabloids are on their knees and doing the bidding of the publicists when they fawn over the new relationship of this foreign-born superhero. It is fake, like every other relationship in which he has been involved.
Mm. Okay. Foreign-born superhero.
Is it a Chris?
It is not a Hollywood Chris. No. Now, we're going to have to dig deep in the drawer for this one. This guy plays a very prominent superhero. I would say he is the third actor to play this superhero on the big screen.
Is it Henry Cavill?
No.
Is the superhero a spider, a spidery one?
Oh.
Is it?
Who's the Spider-Man?
Is it, who's the foreign-born Spidey?
Well, I don't know. Tom Holland, is he from the United States? Oh. Okay.
It's him.
Dang.
Good job, ding, Brad. Ding, ding. Way to solve that.
What's the new relationship?
The new relationship was from earlier this month. Apparently, Tom Holland's is in a relationship with somebody. And cool. I don't know who that is. So don't believe it, though, because here's what NT Lawyer has to say.
Oh, once he's British. Okay, I didn't know that. Sorry.
Once again, the tabloids are doing the bidding of the publicists when they fawn over Tom Holland's new relationship. It's fake, like every other relationship with which Tom Holland has been involved
Interesting.
In.
Interesting. See, and that just this is my Nadia problem.
Parks
with the blind items is it makes me want to ask more questions and we can't.
So as late as August or no September, I'm getting September vibes. Tom Holland's dating history revealed, and it includes most recently Nadia Parks. So I don't know if there's somebody new, but
interesting. And I don't know who she is.
We should sniff around that tree because perhaps that's a publicationship we need to.
Keeping our eye on.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Do you have a quickie, Holly, or should we just call it a day?
Let's call it a day.
Fine. We'll call it a day.
That way.
Good news is, though, there's always Monday. We always have fresh blind items for you in this segment called Blinded by the Item. Now, when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we're going to do a little here's what Holly and Bradley are watching live. I have not yet caught up on The Crown. I am going to catch up on The Crown at some point, but you two are firmly...
I like how you just say that offhandedly. Okay.
But you two are firmly planted in season 4. And I want to hear about it, actually, because It's taking me a little while to get there, and I want to know what to expect. And I do have some questions, and I know our listeners do too. So here's what we're watching live, The Crown Season 4, after this on The Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 107.1. Thank you, Holly, for that. This is The Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Traynor.
Hi.
Hey. And you know, I am still trying to catch up so that I can get to season 4 of The Crown. But people who have already caught up are loving this season. But both of you have and are watching.
It's true. The Crown Season 4 finally came out. It's like one of the gifts of 2020, one of the actual bright spots this year in terms of entertainment. So much has been taken from us in terms of television and movies that we expected to see this year, but The Crown wasn't. And it makes me wonder, they must have been filming right up until the very end of when that sort of initial shutdown happened in March of this year. Because I just kept thinking, like, we're in November and all this stuff I'm watching, it can't have been filmed over a year ago. But anyway, let me not get distracted by that other than to say, this season of The Crown, I don't want to say one is better than the other, because each one in their own right unleashes something new to the story that we first met in season one. And they're all delightfully, I don't want to say self-contained, but almost, right? Because we know, and even if you're not watching The Crown, Colleen, you know that different actors have been playing the characters throughout their life as they advance, because we go forward in time. So Queen Elizabeth, who starts out actually as a princess and a child, has now become a, I guess she's gone beyond middle age at this point and is sort of teetering on the verge of middle age and senior citizenhood, right, Holly?
Well, like, this is like in her 50s, I would say. So she's very settled into middle age.
Yeah, so we're in the 70s, heading into the 80s throughout this season. We also meet some new characters, but my point being that each season is kind of a self-contained story bubble, even though there is a thin thread connecting. It's not even that thin, but the thread sort of connects all of them. Each of the generations has sort of advanced. And other than just sort of the... Oh, go ahead.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I am going to actually watch, and I know you think I'm not, but I will. But if I were to just start with season 4, would I be able to do that? Or is it important to watch all the seasons leading up to season 4?
I will say, and Holly, feel free to add to this, I don't think you need to, but I think you will only enjoy it that much more if you do. Mm-hmm. You're not missing anything. Like, there's no need for you to hurry up and watch it just to feel like you have joined the party, because the entire season is dropped at once. Everybody's on a different episode.
Right.
Or they've finished it. Like in Holly's case, she actually finished the season. I'm about seven episodes in. I don't think you're going to lose anything if you were to start on season 4, or I should say, you won't lose anything that will prevent you from understanding the story, but you will lose something in terms of, I think, an emotional connection to the characters. What do you think, Holly?
Yeah, I agree with you, Bradley, because I actually didn't finish season 3 of The Crown. I watched about half of it, and then I was like, well, do I go back and watch the second half of season 3? And then I was just like, no, I don't have time for this. I'm just diving right into season 4. So, and that's totally fine.
And do you want to tell people, Holly, sort of where we find the queen and her brood at the beginning of season 4?
Oh, sure. Thoroughly in middle age, like you said, Bradley. Prince Charles is looking for love in all the wrong places. They're basically telling Prince Charles, look, honey, you got to settle down. It's part of the crown. What are you going to do about it? And so what does he do about it? He finds Princess Diana, marries Princess Diana. They both know that they shouldn't be marrying each other, but they do it anyways out of a sense of duty. So we also find ourselves thoroughly in the Thatcher years, being Margaret Thatcher, the first female prime minister of the UK. So there's all of that going on at the same time.
Can I just say that is one of the things from season one that I appreciated a lot, was how you see how the royal family works with the prime minister. in a way that I never paid a whole lot of attention to their structure. But you do see how they work kind of in tandem and the relationship that they have as well, which is just interesting.
Right.
And you see how it changes. Prime ministers, governments change regularly, but the family, as it were, because that's what we're talking about, is essentially, I mean, it, don't take this in the negative, pejorative sense of the meaning, but it's like a mob. Like, mm-hmm. you have this family that persists over time, and right. it is a family power relationship, a family-based institution. And they persist despite whatever governments rise and fall. And there is a very interesting, and again, that's one argument to watch these season by season, because you do begin to arrive at a place by the fourth season where you've appreciated what the monarchs are dealing with mm-hmm. based on their history of the last three seasons.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And then you can see what's really fascinating about season four of The Crown is that there's that institution of the British monarchy coming to a head with modernity, and then seeing how individuals who are caught up within this system suffer quite a bit and have to subjugate their own personal wants, desires, needs to this institution that's literally flaking. The wallpaper is flaking. The mouse is scurrying in the house. Mm-hmm. And so it goes and explores how these relationships between this family are made tense by having to be the Queen of England, mm-hmm. being Prince Charles, all and Princess Margaret too. You know, there's a whole episode about her and where she finds herself thoroughly in middle age. Yeah,
you know, it's interesting that you pointed out the mouse, because I don't know that everybody probably caught that, but there's an episode wherein a mouse like runs across the floor, but like literally out of the corner of your eye you would see it, and it's just such a huge. There are two things I just wanted to point out, and one of them is kind of illustrated by that the filmmakers, the people writing this show, did such a wonderful job. Anything that can make you feel empathy towards something that is so unrelatable, like the British monarchy, that is a triumph, right? Like, they could use the institution of the monarchy to tell human stories that are relatable to people who have no proximity to those things whatsoever. I mean, not only do we not have a proximity to it because of our class, but because of our nationality and culture, right? Mm-hmm. But that you could find yourself, as I did last night in the seventh episode, wanting to get a hug from the Queen. Sounds so stupid.
I felt but sorry, like, for Margaret Thatcher in one episode.
Which is no small thing for a number of reasons.
Yeah, I had human feelings for Margaret Thatcher, and I was like, oh, poor honey.
A highly controversial, terribly, terribly consequential person in time and history, but that you could appreciate humanity through the characters that were portrayed on screen, and to do so with a great attention to detail. That's the other thing, is that quite many people close to the story have indicated that they have done a lot of research to understand what's actually going on.
Well, I mean, you guys have built the case for me to finally catch up. But that's what we're talking about when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show. What are you going to binge this weekend? We've got a holiday coming up. We're stuck at home. What are you going to binge this weekend? 651-641-1071. We'll take your calls after this on My Talk 107.1.